This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Eagle.com at 773 Network. That's AmericanEagle.com, 773 Network.
It's Bears Vikings in a Week 12 matchup. Can Matt Eberflus turn things around and put a stop to the losing? Keep listening as we get you ready for the game right up to kickoff. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented by your local Hyundai dealers. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Sports Station. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
Score update studio brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants. Do it today. Nick Chubb, two big rushing touchdowns, helping the Browns beat the Steelers for week 12 of the NFL kicking off. You heard it right here on The Score. The final, 24-19. The Bears portion of week 12 will happen at Soldier Field. Noon kick on Fox as the Vikings come to town. The Blackhawks, 3-1 winners over the defending Stanley Cup champion Panthers. They will next skate at the Flyers Saturday night, tonight at the United Center. The Atlanta Hawks in town taking on your Bulls. Pre-game here on The Score, 6:45. This hour brought to you by Cars for Kids.
He's going to blitz you. I mean, he's the king of cover zero blitz.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. That, of course, Caleb Williams talking about Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator for the Vikings, the former head coach down in Miami who was fired in part maybe because he didn't want to lose on purpose. But he's been bad-mouthed by Tua. It's going to be tough for Brian Flores to get back. He's suing the league. He's got two different lawsuits still against the NFL. I think one is down in Miami. The other one, I believe it was Houston when they hired David Culley. He was candidate for that
job. I think it depends how the season ends, how hard it is for him to get a job. He's qualified. He certainly is doing a great job running that Viking defense. Yes. He has blitzed 39% of the time. And that's why Caleb Williams referred to him as the king of the zero blitz. But also, it's not as if when they don't blitz, they don't rush the passer. They have 23 sacks, the Vikings do, when not blitzing. So they can still come at you. Caleb Williams against the blitz, his completion rate is 59%. He's 25th or worse in different categories like passer rating. He was sacked 18 times, and he struggled at times. Now, he does have the poise, and he did take a step forward last week against the Packers, but there's a reason why the Vikings believe they can come in here and make him lose composure, make him maybe turn the ball over, and rattle him to the extent that they will be in third and long a lot. And if they are, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is going to be a major problem. I mean, the Bears did a good job of converting on third down last week. Part of the reason for that is that they did a good job on first and second down, an improved job on first and second down. I know they hit, you know, a big third down pass that didn't get them a conversion, but got them in position to convert on fourth down, and they converted on a bunch of fourth downs. But man, I'll tell you what, like it's a night and day difference if you're facing third and 20 versus third and two, third and three.
Big difference.
It's
just, big
it's
difference.
So important for
but
the Bears.
This is a tough spot for the Bears because of Brian Flores' history against rookie quarterbacks specifically. 7-1, whether he's a defensive coordinator or a head coach, 7-1, his defenses are against rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And in those eight games, the offenses have averaged only 15.5 points per game. And so that's more than Brad gives them or predicts they will score. Biggsy had the Bears losing 23-13. The bottom line is the Bears are going to have to do something that we don't expect them to do to win this football game. Whether it's running the football well against the NFL's toughest run defense,
yes,
giving up 74 yards per game, or hitting the explosive play in the passing game, which they frankly just have not done consistently enough to think they're going to do it against the best blitz package that they're going to face this year.
Again, I think we knew coming into the season, and we certainly it's been underscored by everything that's happened, but you're going to blitz young quarterbacks. You know, the general rule is to go after young guys and defend against the older guy. That's generally speaking the rule. But I would argue that it doesn't matter whether you're a veteran or a rookie. Nobody wants to be under pressure at the quarterback position. No one enjoys, you know, when they're coming for you and you got to make a play quickly. It's just, you know, veteran players are more likely to do so than younger guys.
No doubt about it. That's when we talk about the Bears' path to victory. That's probably more likely of a path or an outcome than predicting the offense is going to be able to handle or withstand the pressure that Brian Flores applies to Caleb Williams. I think it's more likely that the Bears' pressure on Sam Darnold is going to create turnovers that make a difference in the game. That is the Bears' best path to victory, is that they rattle Sam Darnold and make him look not like the quarterback he's looked like most of this season, in this resurgent season. They make him look like a guy that is a little bit shaky when pressured, that will throw you the football. Frankly, the guy that we saw fail in New York and Carolina, that landed him in San Francisco last year, and I think that's a guy that you have seen often enough to wonder if it could happen again Sunday with this Bear defense, if they could find a way to get back to the quarterback. They haven't rushed the passer well the last couple of weeks. They need to change that. And if they can, to me, that's their best method of winning.
Well, I mean, if you pressure the quarterback, you get takeaways. So, I mean, and this guy will give you the ball. He's had a really revived NFL career. And as we mentioned earlier, when you look at the quarterback class, the free agent quarterback class, he's probably the most viable guy that you would want to sign to be your starter. I mean, I don't know, is Aaron Rodgers, anybody want to line up to sign him and all that brings with it? You know, is Russ or Justin Fields an option that you might want to take a look at? We'll find out who's on that class, but it is not a group. I mean, great, let's get Joe Flacco in here, but does he come with the time machine?
I think you mentioned Pittsburgh. With due respect to Sam Darnold, if they're choosing between the two that they have right now or either of those based on the fact that they're both in their system for 1 year, and Sam Darnold, I think they're probably sticking with the guys they have.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be changing directions. But Sam Darnold's year hasn't been that great.
There are a lot of teams that need a quarterback still in the NFL. And, you know, Shedeur Sanders may be the first overall pick, mm-hmm, and quarterbacks are always hugely popular. And there will be players created, but I don't know that there's enough to get enough to have quarterbacks all over the NFL.
This isn't a great draft for the quarterback,
no.
I don't think. And you look at, you know, Shedeur Sanders may be the first quarterback taken, which may maybe make him the first overall, depending on who's making the pick and how desperate they are. But point is well taken. Free agency could be very good for veteran quarterbacks who are coming off of strong seasons the way that Sam Darnold's putting one together. You look at Vegas, you look at Tennessee, you know, how much the belief do they have in Will Levis as their quarterback of the future? You look at some other examples and they could justify.
Because the Giants need a starting quarterback.
He's not going to New York.
He wouldn't go back to
New York. I don't think he would go back to the New York market. I don't think he would go back to that.
He wouldn't want to be in that fishbowl.
I don't think so. Can you imagine that with Sam Darnold? I think not with a guy who clearly has been – that was not a good experience for him. And I know it's not the Jets.
I don't know. I'm just saying there are teams that need a quarterback and the teams that will draft one. Let's try Barry. He's on the road. Hey, Barry.
David, hey. Good morning, David and Mully. I think the pathway is similar to the very first game. The defense comes up with a defensive touchdown. The Bears hold. Their divisional play has not been bad over the last couple of years. They have not been blown out. They have stayed in all games with defense. If the kid can just come through and do what he's done, you ain't got to do it all game. Minnesota ain't raising that much sand. And just come through with that 13 points, 7 from the defense, pathway to glory. Have a nice day, guys.
I love that. Pathway to glory. Thanks for the phone call, Barry. Is they only going to take 13 points? That's going to be a low scoring game. Take the under?
I mean, we were told to take the under.
I know, but that's really under. 13 points to win this game.
The only points they're going to get are the ones on defense. Okay. Daryl's in Aurora. Hey, Daryl, what do you think?
Hey, gentlemen. Great show. Thanks for taking my call. How do you assess the Vikings' run game? Because that's the one thing the Bears, they're a little inconsistent, but if they shut the run game down and they force Darnell to beat them, I think they have a chance. Darnell is not Superman. You know, he's playing within the system, he's got some great receivers. So
bingo, Daryl.
I'll shut up and let you talk.
Bingo. Aaron Jones has not had a 100-yard rushing game since week 3.
He is back, though. He did participate in practice.
I know.
I'm just saying he has been hurt.
He has been banged up a little bit, but their running game is probably the weakness of that offense because they just haven't established it. They're also playing without their left tackle. Darisaw went down.
Yes.
Cam Robinson came in, and I think when you look at him learning the offense, maybe not being as effective yet as he might have been had he been had a full training camp with this offense in this scheme, I think Daryl's onto something. If the Bears can stop the run, something they have struggled to do defensively, then maybe they can put the Vikings in third and long, which gives you a better chance. I also think this, Molly, and we alluded to it earlier in the week, Matt Eberflus, not to pick on him or pile on, but he's got to be forget the head coaching decisions and late games. He's got to be a better defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He's got to disguise these blitzes better than they were against the Packers. He's got to disguise things that surprise quarterbacks.
Would you recommend him giving up play calling as a defensive guy because of ineptitude as opposed to because he needs to concentrate more on the overall decision?
If you want to use that word, it's a strong one, inept. But I think the ineptitude has been more glaring as a head coach than it has been as a defensive coordinator. Maybe we're being a little picky here. Their defense has still been very good and top half of the league, but we came into the season expecting it to be elite. And for it to be elite again, we've referred to him as an elite defensive signal caller. He needs to show us and remind us what that looks like.
Well, I think they need to get more out of the guys on the defensive line. And we've talked about it. You talked about Montez Sweat earlier in the program. I don't argue that. He needs to be better. I think he's been battling some physical issues. I think he's a motivated guy, work hard guy. But he knows that they haven't had a sack since October 27th as a team. They're not getting it done.
It's a long time.
He's been that's the last time he had a sack.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's a long time for a guy like that to go without a sack.
DeMarcus Walker hasn't taken advantage of the extra attention paid Montez Sweat. Austin Booker has not been a guy who, after showing some flashes early, has been consistent with getting to the quarterback.
He can't stop the run.
Well, that's probably part of it as well. And Jarvon Dexter has had moments rushing the passer early, but we need to see him again. And recently, is it all because they miss Andrew Billings in the different multiple ways that he's helped them?
But, David, I mean, that you still
– can't be all of it, though.
No.
Can't be all of
no.
it.
No. And they got to get better, and they got to play better. And, if you dial up – honestly, someone ought to tell Matt, maybe don't dial up linebacker blitzes. Maybe, let's see what Kyler Gordon can do. Is he healthy again?
Well, he's a good blitzer.
He's an excellent blitzer.
But why shouldn't Tremaine Edmonds be a better blitzer.
He's another guy not having a great year.
I think that when you talk about getting to the quarterback, you look at your elite athletes. We just talked about two of them. We mentioned Kyler Gordon. We mentioned Tremaine Edmonds. Those guys, with their athleticism, should be more obviously in the backfield than they have been the last couple weeks.
I agree with you.
So this defense needs to step up and remind us that it can be trusted to win a game by itself. You don't want that to be the case, but Daryl said 13 points. Brad says 13 points. Nobody's really expecting the Bear offense to get into the 20s against Brian Flores. The fact is, if your defense is good enough, you can still win a game without getting into the 20s.
I wouldn't mind them throwing the ball down the field, buddy. I mean, I keep saying that, and I still don't see it. And I, you know, I said this earlier, and you were taken aback by it because they targeted Rome Odunze 10 times. He had 6 catches in that game, and he barely had a catch more than that, or barely had yardage more than DJ Moore, who caught 7 of the 7 passes thrown his way, many of them right off the line of scrimmage. And I mean, get the ball down the field.
They have to do that.
Get the ball down the field.
They have
Isn't
to
Rome
do
Odunze
that.
Supposed to be a guy that he's 6'3", right? Isn't he supposed to be the guy that won the most challenged balls? And, you know, can he only do that for Michael Penix? Why can't he go up and get the ball for
I'm not that down on Rome.
Caleb. I'm not down on him. I'm just saying I expected more big plays from him.
I expected more plays out of this offense. I expected more plays from our guy DJ Moore.
I did too.
I just look at Keenan Allen, who, you know, they've all had games that have been more notable for their absence and their significance. That's been a problem.
Keenan Allen is a guy making $23 million a year, and he is looking to get paid moving forward. He's not going to get paid here if his season continues in the fashion
he's not
which
getting
it
paid here. No way.
Not a chance.
Yeah.
So in retrospect, maybe that's a guy that should have been on the trading block earlier, as we talked about.
I agree.
I know.
Totally agree. But that's not something that they were aggressively considering because they felt like the Steven was still –
They thought they were in contention.
They could salvage.
They deluded themselves into believing something that wasn't there. And I mean, you know, you can blame Caleb Williams if you want. If you want to say it's not Rome's fault, it's Caleb's fault, you blame anyone you want. I'm just saying I want to see him get down the field more.
In a weird way, and this will sound as absurd as it is in my head right now, is like the Bears have – have too many weapons.
Yeah.
Okay. I know. I said it out loud because I want to explain it.
Yeah.
This should never be the case in the NFL. You don't have too many weapons. It's ridiculous. They have too many weapons. They don't know how to use them properly.
Do you know how hard it is to get 230 yards in a game? DJ Moore had 230 yards in a game last year.
You could count the number how many games is that this year?
Seriously, that's multiple games.
So you add all these weapons, and we're celebrating in the offseason. The Bears have the best trio. Oh, look at Cole Kmet. He's going to have a $50 million tight end season, and he's going to be one of the top 10 tight ends in football. And, DeAndre Swift, they don't know how to use the weapons, clearly, because they're not being utilized. Now, is that all the play caller's fault? Or the Bears have
– You know, okay. So we talk about –
So many offensive issues.
We talk about Cole Kmet, and we talk about how they're not getting him the ball enough. They need to get him the ball more. You know, was the other tight end only a product of the coach?
Yes.
Is that it? Everett was. What happened to him? Where's he gone? You know, you asked Big Z, hey, under the radar, but whatever happened I've drawn a blank on his name, Scott. Whatever happened to him?
Tyler Scott,
the little
guy,
Scott
little
kid,
Scott.
As Dave called
him, he was going to take the top off of the defense. That's why he's here.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from him since he graduated.
Yeah.
Remember that nice little story? He went to Cincinnati after a preseason game?
Yeah.
What happened to Tyler Scott?
I don't know.
Colin Johnson comes back because he was cool at had a great Hall of Fame game.
That guy now, he's 6'6". He can't win a jump ball.
The Bears
your big guy. Have your big guys go into the corner of the end zone and throw it to him.
The Bears make easy look hard. Or the things that seem easy seem hard. They don't do anything offensively that gives you reason to believe the light's going to go on Sunday and they're going to move the ball down the field. Now, they had a nice little stretch there during
during the the crummy portion.
They're in the weak part of the schedule.
Yes.
And now as they get ready,
winning streak.
They're in the midst of the teeth.
Doesn't that seem like not a month ago, but months ago?
Months ago, it does. Yeah. The three-game slide, which led to a four-game slide, was the defining stint of the season.
Yeah.
And they're going to eventually get out of this losing streak, right? Because they have to take credit for something.
They're going
to
win a game. I mean, I know Dustin says they're not going to win another game this year, and it may feel that way, but they're going to win a game. I hope it's Sunday. And I worked hard to try to pick them to win on Sunday. And
well, you still got until your pregame show.
Yeah, you know me.
You got one more injury report to make you change and justify it.
Totally
you'll point
true.
To that and say, well, you know, I didn't have the injury report Friday morning.
Yeah.
And then by Sunday, you'll say to Olin and Pat, and they'll let you kind of off the hook. And they'll say, okay, fine. Whatever you say, Molly.
Yeah. They don't even listen to what I say. That's
they do. The they listen.
No, they're like.
They play off you.
No, they're great guys. I'm just saying I could yell at the moon. I mean, they're not bothered by my opinion because they know me.
Speaking of those guys, tune in Sunday, 9 to noon, for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here, 670 Score. We mentioned Olin. We mentioned Pat Manley. We mentioned Mully. Yes, presented by Aurelio's. You'll want to listen, get ready for the game. Then immediately after the game, instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show, presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it right here on the Score and the Odyssey app.
All right, we've got our guy, Mark Grody. It's Grody time next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you personally frustrated?
I mean, we on a, 3-4 game losing streak? I'm pretty frustrated. So, yeah.
It's Grody time, and that means it's time for Mark Grody with Mully and Haw.
Bears.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's that song, that one song from that one guy, and his name is Mark Grody, and he joins us on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. And Mark, you really got a lot out of Montez Sweat. It's not often we hear guys at Hallis Hall dropping F-bombs. They got rid of that during, I believe, Hard Knocks. But you brought it back. Way to go, Mark. Just a great moment in your life.
It was kind of an ordering of the code red. It was just a buildup throughout the interview of all the questions that everybody was asking Montez Sweat about why he couldn't get to the quarterback. And then finally, I made it personal. Are you personally frustrated? And that's when the F-bomb was finally dropped with that little bit of a Montez Sweat smile and a little bit of a laugh and even on the follow-up. But yeah, I mean, he is frustrated. This team is frustrated, and he should be. I mean, he only has 3.5 sacks.
Yeah, nobody's amused by that.
Yeah, no, nobody's amused by that. And, you know, just, I mean, look at the sack numbers in general, gentlemen. I mean, the Bears have 25 sacks this year. Montez Sweat is not even leading the team in sacks. That goes to Jervon Dexter, but he's been really quiet in terms of getting to the quarterback since the very beginning of this year. DeMarcus Walker only has 2.5 sacks this year. I thought, and maybe there was just hope relative to last year when DeMarcus Walker told me he wasn't healthy until year 11, I thought, well, this is it. He's going to look like he did the previous year in Tennessee and have 7 to 10 sacks, and he's sitting there at 2.5. So unfortunately, a problem that we discussed and had in some ways anticipated has arisen again, and it's for a different reason, and that's because Montez Sweat is not getting to the quarterback, and then you don't have the alternate either, which was the issue going into the season.
So what is the deal opposite Jalen Johnson in the secondary at that cornerback spot? What do you expect to be the distribution of snaps between Tyrique Stevenson and Terrell Smith this week?
Yeah, I still think Tyrique Stevenson is going to get the majority of them, but they, you know, as they were discussing yesterday, is Eric Washington. I asked Eric Washington specifically the question of what do you like about each of these guys? Because we can see that Smitty is being used a lot more, it feels like, and it doesn't seem like, I think we're beyond the punishment from the Hail Mary, and it's just they like to use Smitty. Now they think that Terrell Smith is really good just in man coverage, just in solid coverage and pure coverage. I think that they like him better in that regard. It's not that they don't like Tyrique Stevenson as a cover corner. He is a good cover corner, but what they do like about Tyrique Stevenson a little bit better is his physicality, his ability to stop the run and make tackles and things like that. So I still think that Tyrique Stevenson gets the bigger usage, but you know, Smith is playing well. And I asked, went up into the locker room a couple days ago before I asked Eric Washington the question yesterday. I asked him straight up, are you in a competition? Is that what's going on with Tyrique Stevenson? Are you guys still kind of duking it out for playing time? And he said no. And he said, you know, last year we did a lot of this as well, and there was a decent amount of it. I don't think as much for Smith over Tyrique Stevenson, but you go back and look, and there was a decent amount of it. But, you know, hey, when Tyrique Stevenson first came to the Bears along with Terrell Smith a few years ago, there was a competition in training camp, and they straight up said there was. And then Stevenson made a bunch of plays and kind of left Smith behind. But it is nice that they have this depth in the secondary and at cornerback, which was one of the positions of strength going into the season, if we're going to continue to go back to training camp.
I understand what you're saying, and I don't believe this has anything to do with the Fail Mary, but I do wonder, did that damage him? Do you feel like he's a different player than he was before he was drawn at that crowd, that, you know, he walked out of the practice, by all accounts, came back, it wasn't a big deal, they didn't make a big deal out of it, but sort of the public embarrassment that he suffered through, has that had an impact on Tyrique Stevenson?
Molly, I can't discount that possibility, but if I had to check answer yes or no, I would say no. And that is completely based on a conversation that I had with Tyrique Stevenson a week ago today in the locker room. I spoke to him on the record probably for about 5-6 minutes or so. He was willing to do the talk. I mean, they were kind of trying to rush us out of there, and Tyrique goes, no, I'll talk. And I asked him all these questions about how it affected him, and he said, you know, he's over it. And just looking in his eyes and watching his body language and the way he answered the questions, for him, all he needed was his team to have his back, which they do. He seemed to handle the public pressure pretty well and kind of seemed amused by it. And this is an extraordinarily confident guy. Right. I mean, we don't even want to hear from him every week like we do Jalen Johnson, but he's on the same level as Jalen Johnson when it comes to confidence. So I would say Well, I can't discount it. I'm going to say it's coincidence that, you know, he's had some struggles since then and not necessarily because of.
What's the key to handling the blitz Sunday against Brian Flores, the king of the zero blitz?
He is the king of the zero blitz. He must love that. And defensive coordinator gets called the king by Caleb Williams. I'll tell you what, David, I think they're going to struggle with it for probably about a quarter and a half. I think it's going to look messy for a while. I think some obvious things. I mean, this will force Caleb Williams to get rid of the ball quickly. I think that, you know, Thomas Brown better be on his P's and Q's. I don't want to see all screen passes sort of like we did last year, but you have to be ready for that. I think it's incredibly important that DeAndre Swift is playing, and he was back in practice yesterday in a limited capacity, so you've got to use that run as well. And dare I say, as it seemed like we always say every week, you know, Cole Kmet can be a friend, just in terms of being wherever his quarterback needs him to be. I think that Caleb Williams looks forward to kind of the intellectual challenge that this is going to bring, but I don't know if he is ready physically for what's going to come at him. I think the Bears are going to win this game, but I do think that they're going to struggle mightily for about the first quarter of this game against that defense.
So you're taking the Bears to win the game.
How about that, Molly? And I'm taking the Bears to win this game.
And can you just explain how that's going to happen?
And what the score will be.
Well, yeah. No, I'm dead serious. I've been trying to take the Bears to win the game. Because I really think there's no other choice but to win the game. I'm just searching for a path to victory, and it's not coming easily. I guess they have to win the takeover battle. They've got to. But they won the takeover battle a week ago. I don't know if you're aware, Mark, and it didn't work out.
Yeah, well, I think that there's something to that. I think that the Bears are going to do really well against this Minnesota offense, and it's because of Sam Darnold, and it was something that Jalen Johnson was telling us yesterday. And, you know, Jalen was asked about, oh, look at how consistent Sam Darnold has been this year, what a revelation he is. And he kind of looked at us and said, I don't think he's been consistent at all. And then you go back and look, and yeah, last week against Tennessee, zero picks, but then the week before against Jacksonville, he turned it over three times. Week 9 against the Colts, he turned it over a couple of times. So it almost feels like while Sam Darnold is not going into a tailspin or anything like that, he's not turning back into a pumpkin like a lot of people thought, like this guy, like he's just going to suck all of a sudden. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that he has reclaimed his career, and I don't think he's ever going to be an MVP candidate. But I do think that this is a sloppy period he is going through, and the Bears will have been the best defense that they will have seen in the last 3 weeks. So I think that there's a chance for some turnovers, maybe a pick six. So I'm kind of in my reasoning for picking the Bears to win, I'm kind of going on the hunch that the Bears are going to put the Bears offense in pretty good field position in this game with a turnover or two. Like I said, if they get lucky, a pick six. And I also think, while I said that I do think it's going to be ugly early against Minnesota, I think Caleb eventually takes a deep breath in that game, figures it out, and sort of, we've seen this with him a couple of times in games where it takes him a while to get going, and once he does, it gets really good. So I think ultimately Caleb's going to have a good day, and the defense will rule the day, and that is why I believe the Bears will win. Give me 21-17. I think that's always a safe landing place. So I don't know if that helps you guys, but that is my path to victory for the Chicago Bears.
Which will be higher, the number of touchdown receptions Justin Jefferson has or the number of touchdown passes Caleb Williams throws?
Oh, I love that. I love it. I am picking the Bears to win this game. So, no, you know what? I am going to say it's going to be Justin Jefferson will have more than Caleb Williams in this game because they're going to hand the ball to Roschon Johnson to get the ball into the end zone, maybe a little DeAndre Swift action. So I think that my pick on that, for all you gamblers out there, because Haw's trying to get me to gamble again, say it will be Justin Jefferson. Yeah,
People love Roschon Johnson.
I know.
People love Roschon Johnson.
Well, he's more of a straight line guy.
I am not there yet.
Yeah, he's a little high pad level for a straight line guy.
I think people like him because I don't know about that, Hall. I think that people love him because they've found a purpose for him. I don't think they love him as in give him the ball 30 times a game. I'm not hearing that. I don't know. Maybe you are. Maybe you're hearing that from people.
I've just been surprised at how much he has been offered as a running back solution or a compliment even. And he had 10 carries last week, I believe, and people thought, well, that's a good start.
Well, I think he's a really good backup, and he has found, like, he's one of, like, we talk about identity so much on this Bears team. There's one, he has an identity. His identity is now when you get down to the goal line or you need tough yards, he's your guy that can plow forward. He'll surprise you with a catcher every once in a while. He'll bust one open every once in a while, but I don't look at him as anything beyond that. He's not a number one running back in my mind.
I'm curious. We've gotten this far in the interview and we haven't talked about Tevin Jenkins yet. Normally, with you, that would be a lead topic.
Has he decorated the tree yet?
You guys are close and you got a great relationship with him. So I don't want to ruin it by asking you if he'll be able to finish the game, but it looks like he'll start it.
Yeah, it does look like he'll start it. He was a full participant in the practice yesterday and before the practice. Molly, thank you for asking about Tevin. I did have a brief conversation with him, and I just said, this is before the practice, before we knew he was a full participant. I'm like, are you gonna play this week? And he goes, oh yeah. He's oh yeah, I'm gonna play. So that is my conversation. That is my insight from Tevin Jenkins. Will he finish the game? I don't know. Hall, what do you have for the numbers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah.
That,
oh yeah.
You took a lot out of that, Grody.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
How about that nugget? How about that
That's
insight?
A great nugget.
I can't believe he opens up to you like that.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was like when Scottie Pippen was sitting next to me in the Cubs booth during the NLCS at Wrigley Field, and I was like a little kid, and I said to Scottie Pippen, I said, hey, do you remember when they decided to switch you on to Magic Johnson and you guarded him, and then he couldn't do anything, and he looked up at me, Scottie Pippen did, and goes, oh, yeah.
with
that big Scottie Pippen grin.
You have a way.
You remember that one time when the
you have a way of getting people to open up, Grody.
That's what I did, Molly. I was like, because that's all I wanted to ask him. And the grin came over his face, like, you know, the big Scottie Pippen grin. And then he kind of opens his mouth and looks at me and goes, oh, yeah. I'm glad that you stimulated that memory here this morning.
Good stuff, Grody. All right.
Grody gets the story. Always happens.
Looking forward to Sunday, Grody. Be sitting next to you again.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care. Bears are going to win. See you. Bye.
I love it. That is our guy, Mark Grody. How about that? We've been waiting for that moment. Grody's confident. I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mark Grody knows what he's talking about. 312-644-6767 is the number. Come on now. Anybody think Grody's a fool? No.
No. I'm not saying Grody's a fool.
He's done something that none of us could figure out. How are they going to win?
Got a pathway to victory.
Mark, are they going to win?
It's plausible. Yeah. There's a plausible pathway.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to turn the page, and we're looking forward to coming out and fighting versus Minnesota. What I told our guys is, in adversity you have, and it strikes in life, you got to get up off the mat. You bleed a little bit, and sometimes you bleed a lot, but you got to get up and fight. And that's the message that I told them, and that's the message that we're going with.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670. The score, I should let you know, the segment with Mark Grody brought to you by your local Ford dealer. Shop now at buyfordnow.com.
Richard Hightower yesterday at the podium. I felt like he was in command. He took responsibility. Not everybody in that room was as impressed, apparently. And I feel like he was a guy that wanted to do what Matt Eberflus didn't do earlier in the week, and that was remove doubt about who to blame.
And that's fine, but I would like to have known, you know, more of a detailed answer when he was asked specifically about going to the wrong hash mark. The
guy, they're never going to tell you that.
Well, I know, but I mean, that's got to be, hey, did you ever have a conversation about getting the ball on the right hash mark?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that's a problem, David, if you're not whispering that to the coach. Listen, he wants the ball on the other side. I mean, I'm just saying.
I understand all the consternation over that. My question would be, how is that even a secret? How do you not know that?
I don't know.
How many years has Cairo Santos been here?
But I think
how many years has he
long enough to know that?
Where does he kick every PAT? The fact that that would even have to be voiced is somewhat
of a
mystery.
Apparently, you didn't run the extra play or two you could have because you were afraid of jumping offside. You didn't balance the desire of the kicker to have the ball on one side versus whether or not you should run another play or just try to kick the thing. And I hate that we're having this conversation again.
Yeah, I know. It's Friday.
Because it's Friday. And because no matter what happens, no matter what the league says when they look at the play, it's over. Move on. You have lost that game. You're never getting that one back. And I do agree with the idea that had you won that game, as you should have with the 46-yard field goal attempt, had you won that game, the flower would have wound up with a lot of egg on his face. And that, when egg and flour mix, it's the makings of a good cookie.
Okay, different kind of flour.
Sorry.
That's a little strained metaphor.
Thank you, buddy.
But I do like the effort.
I'm here for you.
Yeah, I know.
But I do think that it's just it's just the kind of thing that would drive you nuts, frankly.
Thomas Brown was impressive yesterday, too. I don't know if that matters to people or not.
He's good.
They have guys who have done the public portion of their job in an impressive manner. I think every week that Eric Washington speaks.
He's good, too.
He's very competent, and he comes across in a very sincere, strong football coachy way.
You know, I'd like to talk to him about the defensive line because, and I'm surprised he doesn't get more questions about that because that is his area of expertise. He is the defensive coordinator. He's not the line coach, but he has worked with, he's been a line coach in the NFL, and he has worked and supposedly helped improve some of the defensive line. That, as we've talked about, has stalled a little bit. It's not that everybody's awful and the sky is falling. It's stalled a little bit. And yeah. Montez Sweat, I think it's injury related. I find him to be a self-motivated guy. I don't think he's in any way trying to get out of his responsibility. But you signed that guy and you paid that guy to go get the quarterback. And he hasn't been able to do that on a consistent basis this year. I understand all the chips and all the other the help blocks and everything. I understand you still, if you're an offensive coach for the opponent, you are looking at how to game plan for him. He is still the guy that you've got to figure out in order to beat the Bears. We got to make sure this guy doesn't impact the game. But he hasn't been impacting the games. You know, I was really hoping that he was going to have a big game against Green Bay.
You know who else gets chipped a lot, double-teamed a lot, and gets a lot of attention? Myles Garrett.
Oh, yeah.
You know how many sacks he had last night?
Yes.
As many as Montez Sweat really has had all year.
He's the defensive player of the year. And there's three sacks. There's a reason that he
okay. But Montez Sweat has got to be the Bears' equivalent of Myles Garrett. Sunday.
I completely agree with you. I think I'm saying that, too. I don't know that he's as good a player as Myles Garrett, who is, as we're saying, the best player, best defensive player in the league, voted that way.
Yep.
But yeah, it'd be nice if, you know, and especially when you talk in the offseason about getting tired of losing to Green Bay, you would think that you would have, like, an extra little oomph, a little something for yourself. And they didn't get anything done on the defensive line against
No, they did not.
A Jordan Love.
They did not. It was frustrating.
It is frustrating.
No wonder he's cussing.
Yes, he is cussing. He did have a good cuss in response, and that was worth listening to, even if you have to bleep it. You don't like guys cussing.
All right.
You are personally not a
get to the quarterback.
You don't approve.
Then you can say whatever you want.
We've got Stacy Dales next. She's going to join us. We'll talk Bears, Mullion Hall on the Score.
I'm pretty frustrated.
Bernstein and Harris, 10 to 2 on the Score.
Our Football Friday will feature Joe Ostrowski on Your Wagertainment at 11:25, High Noon 11:40, Kevin Fishbane at noon, Adam Hogue at 1, followed by the Solid Wall of Sound.
Bernstein and Harris, middays 10 to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, the holidays right around the corner. They're going to be here soon. And whether you're searching for the perfect gift or you hope someone is shopping to get you a perfect gift, the place to go, Flag and Anthem. FlagandAnthem.com has you covered with the best shirts, period. For the casual guy, you can't beat their Hero Stretch flannel shirt. It has the look of a button-down but feels like a sweatshirt. For the office commuter, the Flag and Anthem Journey Performance Dress Shirt has an insane amount of stretch for comfort and a huge bonus. It never lets them see you sweat. And you already know that sweaters are an absolute holiday staple.
Indeed. And you can't go wrong with a Flag and Anthem quarter zip sweater like the Woodland Merino Wool sweater. It is super comfortable, rugged yet refined, perfect for the holiday parties at work or with the family. These styles all bring comfort to the office and versatility to your everyday wardrobe during the holiday season. So don't wait. Get your shopping started today, since you'll save 25% off with the promo code SCORE24. That's SCORE24 for 25% off your next order at flagandanthem.com. Flag and Anthem, real clothes for real life.